This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, DGS 205. Thanks for joining us on Facebook and YouTube. How's everyone's health? Andrew, back to the world of the living?
Mostly.
Wow.
So this happens to me when I get this kind of, specifically this kind of sick, where it just kind of lingers, and I will spend twice as long in the linger phase as I did in the like actual, I feel fine, but there's just, you know, there's just a little gunk stuck in there that just lingers on, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah. Get it?
But overall, I feel fine.
Wheels, you had a rough one, huh?
I did for, like, it was bad for, like, 2.5 days sucked. Yesterday was kind of fine. Like, that's usually, like, my standard. Like, if I have a day where I can be, I feel pretty good, and you know, no fever or anything, and I'm not taking any meds, then I'm good to go. That means I'm done. You know, that's the way it was, and that's, you know, today I feel much better, but I'm sure my voice will suck by the end of the day.
Yeah, I feel pretty lucky. I picked something up from one of you guys, and had not a great weekend, but I didn't do anything. I didn't have to do anything. I was able to just chill and relax and moan and feel sorry for myself. And
yeah, what do you guys do like that? Because I mean, like, there's so much better to be sick now than it was when, you know, like 20 years ago. Like, I'm going to watch The Price is Right all day. You know, like now, I mean, I was watching old sports documentaries. I watched a bunch of the Star Wars movies. I play video games. Like, you're miserable, but the misery is not as bad.
Yeah.
Because you have things that are not taxing. You don't have to get up. You don't even have to leave your couch, but they're there.
Yeah. Well, you know my weird thing. Fantasizing that I have no responsibility because someone shot me and I was able to save the baby. Like, being sick is sort of like that for me, where it's like, I don't typically like just being on my own and doing nothing unless I'm sick.
Yeah.
And then I'm fine.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Now, when I was kind of this kind of sick. Like, when I'm throw-up sick, don't come near me.
No.
And when I have a little bit of a cold, I like to be babied. But this one, this brand of whatever it is that we've had, I was just very much like, Dave, couch, TV.
It was a lingerer. Like, that for me, it was. Like, the fever was like almost 3 days.
Mm.
And it would just, like, come and go, but it would, you know, it'd get worse at times, and I get the shivers. I get the worst shivers, dude, when I have that. Like, my whole body, like, just starts shaking like a weirdo.
A weirdo.
Oh, dude, I must look like a freak. It's the worst.
I had a realization this weekend about sickness.
Yeah.
Because I had about you know, the same as you, Dave. I just kind of laid on the couch all weekend and I was very fatigued. And I'm, you know, we all have like stories we tell ourselves, like narratives about our lives. And one of my narratives was, man, before I got COVID, I just didn't get tired like this whenever I got sick, you know? So I'm like, I've got long COVID or something like that.
Yeah, it's called getting older.
Exactly. Like, I was just, I'm sitting there thinking about it. I'm like, poor me, ever since I got COVID. And then I'm like, well, I'm also in my 30s now. That probably has something to do with the extreme fatigue whenever I get tired. Like, it was such a big duh.
Yeah.
But for a couple of years now, I've just been like, yep, COVID really took me down. I think aging is taking me down.
It might have been. It might have been before COVID, but like
I used to be so hot before COVID.
Yeah, it was before COVID, I think, but I had one of those like week long where you're just miserably sick and all of that. Actually, you know what it was? I think that's when I hurt my voice because I had that and then I came back too fast.
Yeah.
And I did all that. And I kept thinking, God, this is why is this? I used to just push through all of this stuff and I'd be fine. I'm like, well, duh, yeah, you were 34, now yeah, you're 45,
makes a big difference.
Now you're 48 or whatever. Like,
did I ever tell you about when I blew out my vocal cords?
I don't know. Oh, singing?
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
Dumb. So stupid.
Yeah.
I was already sick, about like I am now, or like I was over the weekend, and I had to play a gig outdoors, and I sang 80% of the songs, and I was gargling olive oil and taking everything I could think of to take. And I got there. It was a new melody. And I sang two songs. My voice was roached. And Dave from my band was like, dude, you got it. Everyone in this band can sing. And so I stepped back and let them take over. But I kept trying to sing background. And so by the next day, for the first time, and thankfully the last time, I had no voice. Like, I'd never experienced that before. It's very creepy.
Yeah.
And went into my ENT at the time, and he snaked a camera. And first thing he did is put it up one of my nostrils, and he goes, oh, deviated septum. Never knew that.
Oh, there you go.
And put it down the other one, and he goes, now, don't worry. It's going to feel weird, but I've never had anyone actually gag, and I immediately gagged. And he had to put it all the way through my sinuses down to my vocal cords. Terrible. And then he goes, I'm sorry, but there's some mucus on the camera. I have to do it again. And when he visualized them, I had strained them terribly, and there were a couple of nodes developing, and he was like, no talking at all for a week, and then another week off after that. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah. It's kind of how I had it with that time that I'm describing, is because at the time I'm doing 5 days a week, 3 hours a day solo show, and I'm also doing baseball lessons, and I'm coaching teams, and it got so bad, like every day was pain, every day for, I mean, a year.
Wow.
It lasted forever. I could talk, it sounded okay, but it just hurt every day. I
haven't had that.
And I had to go to rehab. I had to go to vocal therapy with a voice coach.
I think Katie Cruz had to do that once.
Yeah. Just don't do that.
Yeah.
don't.
Oh, everyone in my family is so mad at me.
Yeah, don't
then.
Put yourself in that position. It's hard, though, because you don't know different.
Yeah. I should have.
Yeah. I mean, but you know it because people are telling it to
yeah.
you, not because you are fully, like, same with me. People are always telling me, take another week off. I'm like, I can't.
Well, when I first started in the band, and if you ever saw the band, you know, but my voice is in an upper register. So I would sing AC/DC and Queen and Led Zeppelin and kind of screamy songs like that. And by the end of the night, I was, you know, having trouble. And Mark Quinn, who's the lead singer in El Monstero and Joe Dirt, said, it's not the singing, it's the talking. He's like, I know that a lot of people come to see the band because of you and you want to go meet them and talk to them, but it's on the breaks when you spend 20 minutes kind of talking loudly and yelling over the background sound and music, that's what really hurts your voice.
Mm.
And that was a good tip.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I just started waving.
You're like, do you do like the Queen wave?
Yeah.
The turning the hand?
That was right around the time. I know I've told this story before, but it made such an impression on me when I was at a bar and I was setting up the band. And there are people, you know, filing in and sitting in tables and some were waving at me. And I walk up to this one couple. I'm like, hey, I'm Dave. And they're like, oh, thank you, Dave. We ordered some toasted raviolis like 10 minutes ago and we haven't seen them yet. So I went and got them. Thought I was a little too big for my britches. I know you're here to meet me, so let me just introduce myself.
Yeah.
Razor's Edge.
Yeah, let's talk about a couple of different things for Razor's Edge today. First of all, since we're talking about sicknesses, I just want to say, like Wheel said, it's so much better being sick nowadays than it was back in the day. One of the reasons it's great is Liquid IV, that powder you can buy.
Should have tried it.
It kind of like replenishes your electrolytes and gets you super hydrated. Oh my gosh. That got me through the weekend. And
could you tell like an immediate difference?
You're getting all of your hydration. So it's not like I was like, I have so much energy now, but it makes your water taste like it flavors your water. Mm-hmm. And then there's also something about like having a plastic bottle of like a disposable bottle of water with the powder in it that I'm like, okay, I'm going to finish this in the next 15 minutes as opposed to like I have my big plastic bottle, my reusable one that I'll sip on all day. It's just a thing. It was just very nice to have that this weekend. And
I'll have to try it next time because this weekend I mostly relied on Diet Coke and Whopper's candy. So.
Yeah, that's why I texted you yesterday. I'm like, just make sure you're drinking, you're hydrating.
I'll bring you one tomorrow.
Whoppers? Bring it.
Well, I hate Whoppers. They're disgusting. But one of the packets. I'll bring you a packet.
Oh.
I don't like Whoppers either. Yeah. I don't think they taste
good. What's wrong
good.
With you people?
They're
malted
about them.
Milk balls.
Yeah. I don't want
there's better milk. Candies out there for me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna force myself to like a Whopper.
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 anybody watch the Oscars last night?
Not a minute.
Nope.
What about you, Andrew?
I watched a little here and there, but not really.
I'm so glad you did though.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
And because I was going to not, I turned it on, Conan's hosting. I don't even think I knew that Conan O'Brien was hosting the Oscar. I mean, I'm sure it was brought up at some point, but I had forgotten. And I had a moment where I was like, do I want to watch my boy Conan do this? Because a lot of times it's just bad, you know, like even though it's Conan O'Brien, like how much is he really going to put his stamp on this broadcast? And the opening musical number was a little lame and I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch this. So I turned it for a second and then I'm like, I'm going to watch it for the show. I love me a television event, as I've said before, so I'll go ahead and watch the whole thing. And I ended up being very entertained and really liking it because of Conan. He did a great job. He was very funny and very himself.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that I enjoyed the Oscars because I have not seen any of the films except Dune 2, which I don't think won anything.
That's what I was talking about last night. Susan and I were like, I mean, like, I asked her legitimately, like, how many of these did I even see? Because she watches them all. She'll watch all the ones that are the award nominees. Like I saw Dune 2 and maybe what was the other one with the Vatican?
Conclave.
That's probably the only two that I saw. And I don't know if it's movies being done differently or just I don't care about things that I used to. But I remember even 10, 15 years ago, more of those movies being appealing. You know what I mean? Like bigger movies that were appealing to broader audiences.
Didn't they a few years back try to address that, making more mainstream movies a part of it and comedies and things?
Well, they've expanded the Best Picture category to now it's 10 films.
Wow.
So something like a Dune 2 would actually have a chance. In that case because it is an action movie. But I mean, it's not going to win Best Picture, but it's nice that it's included in the category.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were going to do, I think you're right, Dave. I thought they were going to do something like it's the Marvel movie of the year or something, you know, more blockbustery. But I haven't really seen that come to fruition other than expanding the category.
I was wondering, I'm very self-deprecating, as you know, part of it legitimate, part of it performative, I'm sure. But Steve, our boss, was just telling me today, like, don't play the age thing so much and like, oh, I'm so out of it. But I was wondering how much of my reaction to the Oscars, the movies in particular, and then the whole thing overall was being 60. And I'm just not as engaged in that as I used to be. And how much was who's moved, me or them? Because it does feel, just feels, like movies used to be much more approachable, and the Oscar movies, I'd seen every one of them, but maybe it's just that I'm not engaged.
Maybe, but I mean, I remember being in my 20s, and my parents were like, you know, or in my 30s. My parents are only like 23 years older than me. So when they were in their 40s and 50s and early 60s, like, they still were all in on the Oscars. They were still watching them and seeing most of those big movies. You know, I don't think it's that. I do think movies have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there just aren't, like, just looking at the last few years, there aren't as many big stories that appeal to wide audiences. everything has become a little bit more about very targeted and specific. And I don't care about who wins. I'm not. It's not a competition. It doesn't matter to me. But I look back, and you can look in some of the years, say 15 years ago, and you're like, man, I saw all of those. You know, like 2015, you had Spotlight, which was the winner, right? But The Big Short was also, again, broad appeal. Bridge of Spies was broad appeal. You had a Mad Max movie. You had The Martian. You had The Revenant. Like, that's just 10 years ago. And there's like 7 or 8 finalists for Best Picture that are broad appeal movies that don't take a certain group of people just completely out. I'm not going to see Anora. It's not a story. It's not about the specific movie. I'm sure it's great. That idea does not appeal to me. It's not something I'm going to be interested in watching, but I could look back 10 years ago and it's like, all of those were movies I watched and enjoyed. Maybe the movie industry has changed just because of COVID and streaming, and there's so many more movies being made. It's not just the big ones that get made, and the smaller ones do find a way, and they're grabbing people's attention. Maybe it's just that.
What do you think, Rach?
I think there's probably a lot that goes on politically with the Oscars that we don't realize. It was only a couple years ago that I realized that they have all these luncheons and they have these media circuits they put them on, and they're jockeying for the award. I never knew that. I thought it was just like, hey, you did the best performance, but you are campaigning for that award. So I just don't know if different avenues have opened up, which are leading to different types of movies getting this recognition. But yeah, I agree. It did seem like the big films back in the day. It's like, okay, there's kind of something for everyone here. Anora, I probably will watch once it's streaming. But, you know, I'm a female, like, that's going to appeal to me more than it does, like, a sports guy like Wheels. So, but I will say this about Anora. I had never heard of it before the award season started up. It was just like, True. Oh, it's winning awards. So, one thing I did, we have to take a break here, but the Oscar snub is such an interesting topic.
Oh, let's talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Six Oscar snub.
Yeah, it's just such an interesting concept to me because it's implied that, like, we all know who should have won and they've been snubbed. Like, people are saying that Demi Moore was snubbed because she didn't win the Oscar for The Substance. I haven't seen that film. I haven't seen Anora, so I'm not going to make a judgment on who had the better performance. But it's just funny. And people are saying Timothée Chalamet was snubbed because he did such an incredible job playing Dylan and he didn't win the Oscar. Adrian Brody did. It just feels like a way of coping with, like, for fans to cope and be like, oh,
my guy didn't win.
Yeah, like, they were snubbed. They were so disrespected. It's like, no, they lost. Like, it's a competition and they lost.
We do that in sports a lot with, like, all-star teams.
Yeah.
All-star snubs. Like, yeah, look, man, there's a lot more than, like, 28 good players. You know, good players are going to get left off. It's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Our buddy Janelle posted on the stream, there are just more independent films produced now than before. Totally true.
Yeah.
In my day, it was the big companies making big films for big splashy summer and
big
holiday.
Big audiences, yeah.
Big audiences, and that's true.
And I don't mean it's a bad thing either. Mm-hmm. It's just different.
Yeah.
But because I still see a lot of the cool things that I want to see. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't care about the awards, but I think when you look at these lists, especially post-COVID, it's just a different group of movies. But maybe that's okay.
Yeah. Can I piss a lot of people off?
Sure.
No, stop it.
I like Kieran Culkin. I've enjoyed him in things.
Oh, please go off, please.
But he's just being himself.
Yes.
And I know that Tom Cruise and Kevin Costner have done the same thing, but he's just so specific, and I'm just so, I don't know, I'm just weird, and I like to rub my hair, and I'm just very, very anxious, and it's like, okay, if I have a part that calls for this person, Kieran's getting the phone call, but if I have any other part in the world, I'm not calling him.
Jeremy Strong was snubbed for Kieran Culkin. No, I'm just kidding.
Right here. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For DGS. As you guys know, Counting Crows are probably my favorite actual band. And I love Adam Duritz, the lead singer. And here's one of the reasons. I saw him over the weekend on a TikTok. And he said, do you know why I write so many great songs? Is because I write so many crappy songs. He's like, for every great song I write 200 terrible, should never see the light of day songs.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Mike Myers do the Actor's Studio once, and he said the same thing. He said, I write every single day, and almost every single day, it's unusable. It's terrible. But because I write every day, eventually I come up with Austin Powers.
Right.
Or Wayne's World or something like that. And I thought that was really interesting. Bernie joined us. Bernie, do you find that in your style of writing?
Yeah, I do, and a lot of times there's no real reason for the kind of the fluctuations in quality. I mean, sometimes I wake up and my brain's firing on all circuits in terms of creativity and writing quick, and then other days it just doesn't matter. To use the expression of one of the all time great sports writers, Red Smith, who was asked, What's the writing process like, Red? You've won all these awards. You're America's greatest sports writer. And he said, oh, it's pretty simple. And they say, yeah, what do you do? He said, I just open up my computer and bleed into the keyboards. You know, because in other words, there's just nothing good's coming into your mind. There's nothing that's leaving, going from your mind to your fingertips to the screen you're writing on. And you're like, what's happened? Have I completely lost any talent I had as a writer? So yeah, you have to roll with it. But the more you write, the more I think the sharper you stay. And I think that it opens up your mind to different possibilities the more that you write. And you sort of exercise your brain, which is your tool when it comes to writing. You keep your brain working hard, and good things will eventually happen.
Bernie, I'm sure that your approach and your style and your purpose have evolved over the many decades that you've been doing this. But in general, how would you define the writer that you've been? When you set out to write an article, are you looking specifically to find a different take from other people, to do a different angle than other people? What is it that when you finish an article and you read it, you go, yeah, this is good?
I've always thought, I've been proud of a couple things. One thing I'm proud of in my career is that I always, it's such a cliche, man, but I thought I always had my finger on the pulse of what fans really want, what they're most interested about. What are they going to read? What are they going to be excited to read about? Now, I would do some off the beaten path stories. And I think it's important to do that, like to stray from what people come to expect. You have to have that element of surprise. But I always thought, I can identify where my audience is and what they want to read, and they're loyal to me and support me, and they've been great to me. So I'm going to return the favor by writing about things that are very important to them, and rather than what's maybe important to myself. I sort of put my ego aside that way. And I think that's worked out well for me. And I also think that as I've gotten older, this has become more of a quality. It was an inconsistent quality earlier in my career, which is I am going to just say what is on my mind. I'm not going to finesse it. I'm just going to just say, okay, here's what I think. Boom. I think earlier in my career, you would try to finesse it a little bit. And that's just, I think, what all writers go through. The other thing, this is corny too, and I know it's self-serving, but it is true. I've never lost my desire to work really, really, really hard at this. People can say a lot of things about me, and a lot of it's right in terms of criticism. No one can ever question how hard I work, and I take a lot of pride in that.
What has been the most accurate criticism of you?
That's a really good one. There's so many of them, right? I think it might be along the lines of what I was just saying a couple minutes ago, which is, I think a little earlier in my career, I was a little wishy-washy. Hmm. I would just kind of straddle that fence a little too much. And I see that, frankly, in a lot of young columnists. I think it's pretty typical. And the internet has changed. The World Wide Web has changed that dramatically. I don't think traditional, newspaper site columnists can be wishy-washy. They don't have to go raging in there with a fake hot take and all that. But people want your opinion. It's like, give us your opinion. You've been covering this for a long time. What do you think? You don't need to straddle the fence. And I think for a while I would straddle the fence without even realizing that that's what I was doing. Because once I changed my style to just say, okay, here's what I think. Boom. Then I realized, well, dude, man, if only you had done this a little bit sooner in your career, you might have, your career's been good, but it might have been even better.
And last question about this, Byrne, but you mentioned the hot take, and the hot take has become a genre, and we all know who the hot take guys are. And for the most part, they're multimillionaires. Do you think that that's been good for sports broadcasting in general or bad?
It depends on how we define it. And here's what I mean by that, Dave. It used to be sports writing in particular was all about the journalism. And broadcasting for a long time was all about the journalism, broadcast journalism, where you're not worried about how can I entertain people? How can I get them fired up? What can I say in strong terms that's going to get me a big audience and to get me noticed and to basically be more, to put more premium on entertainment and action? And I think it's possible to actually have a really strong take without being fake about it, without, just basically throwing away all your principles because you're so desperate to get clicks, But I think it's more of an entertainment industry now than it is an endeavor of journalism. And I don't want to overstate that because there's still a lot of great journalism out there, but it would be stupid of me to pretend that it hasn't changed dramatically because it's changed incredibly dramatically.
So speaking of hot takes, I understand you and Wheeler kind of faced off today on Gas House.
We always like to do that.
Yeah, we will once in a while.
And I mean, the whole time we're doing it, our voices are raised, but I think we're both kind of smiling. I know I am.
Yeah.
See, that's one of the things that gets lost too, I think. It's really good. It's really healthy to have vigorous debate as long as they're genuine debates and not made up.
Yes.
You know, and I think like when Wheeler and I have gotten into it two or three times and every time it has been 100% genuine, spontaneous. It's not an act.
It's not planned.
Like,
yeah.
It's not like a world. It's not like a wrestling thing where we say, okay, well, who's going to win tonight?
Right.
I'll do this to you. And then you say that. No, it's totally spontaneous and totally genuine.
You know, and I think I said this while, yeah, I think I said it, you know, at the end of our little sparring session today, because Tom and one commenter nailed it. He's like, Tom and Matt were literally on the screen in between us, like the way it was set up.
Right,
and this guy said it looked like they were watching a tennis match going back and forth. And it was great. But like the one thing I said, and I think this is true, friends should be able to argue.
Right.
And everybody should be okay with that. You know, and it doesn't have to be. In the end, there's a winner and a loser, and everybody's wrong. No, it doesn't have to be that way. It can be two people who disagree on a thing, we argue, and guess what? Now it's over. And we move on to the next subject.
And it was
okay.
A fun discussion.
Yes.
It was a fun discussion. And the thing of it is, like, I thought your original premise, you were like, what? I was like, wait a minute, dude, come on now. And then I threw some punches.
Yeah.
And then I got to give you credit. Like, you deflected some of the punches, not all of them, but your counter punches were pretty effective. I tip my cap to you on that.
We both would have scored well with the judges. That would have been a tough one, man. That would have been a tough draw after 12 rounds.
What was the basic fight?
So we were talking about, and it was silly because what we were talking about is the overreaction to a prospect, to Quinn Matthews being sent to minor league camp. And of course, our talk about the overreaction then turns into
an overreaction,
which was really funny. I'm not gonna lie, that makes it even more funny. It was simple. It was just about like describing the. Bernie did a great job of laying out how there's a reality to the situation. The Cardinals, if they have somebody under contract, the player under contract's going to get the first shot. Right, Miles Mikolas is going to get his shot. Steven Matz is going to get his shot, even if they're not pitching better or don't look better than a younger player because they have a contract. And he's totally right. That's what the Cardinals do. It's what a lot of major league teams do. They want to get something out of their investment, even if it means putting somebody out there that might not be as good as another option. And then we got going into the details of it. I'm like, well, there are also like three other guys, McGreevy and Graceffo and Hentz, that are kind of in line, so to speak, ahead of Matthews because they're on the 40 man, they've advanced further and so on. So it started with both of us just making normal points. And then, I don't know, Bern, I think there was a part of it we talked past each other for a minute or two.
Yeah, I agree.
Where
I agree.
We both missed a point that the other made that if we had just caught that, we would have never argued, which is kind of this is why it's so nice to be able to do this because we can do that. And we all make the really good points that needed to be made, but then the miscommunication doesn't turn into anything more than that. And you know that, and then so it became about which guy was the better guy of those four, and that really wasn't the point either one of us was making in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think we both would agree that the best long-term guy is Matthews,
right?
And right now it's unknown because it could be him and it could be the other guys, but the fact is that there's this big overreaction, like the Cardinals are blowing it by sending him out
when
this was the plan all along,
right? And I think we both agreed on this too. The kid is so good, and he looks so good in that one start he had. It's almost like, you know, he really needs a little more time in the majors, and he really needs to get ready for the Memphis season. He'll be a Cardinal in 2025. There's no doubt about it. But you know, the more that we keep him up here, and the more he pitches well in our spring training games, when we do send him out, and we're going to send him out, people are going to lose their minds, and so this was actually kind of a preventative thing because they're going to send him out. It's like, well, we probably should do that now. You know, the other side of that is like, couldn't they have at least given him one more start up here?
Yeah, we didn't go back and forth on that. When you said that, I was nodding because I think that's an interesting point. That there's the practicality. There aren't enough innings for every person that you want to get innings in major league games. And if you're already planning on him starting in the minors, you want those innings for the guys that are going to be in the majors or that might be like McGreevy and Graceffo and those guys. But Bernie's right. If he goes out there, let's say he has two or three more outings where now he's going three shutout innings and he faces the starting lineup for the Astros and he faces the starting lineup for the Mets and he's shutting them down. Man, in 2 weeks now, you got people even more mad because they're like, see, this guy's good enough and you're sending him down.
In the middle of the Welcome night, back, DGS on KMOX 253. If you're gonna walk on water. Going by Bethesda tonight where I do my hospice work. They're training 15 new people tonight to be on No One Dies Alone. And I think all of them are from the DGS.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That just shows how great of an audience that you have, Dave. Yeah. I mean, they show up and show out for whether it's Operation Food Search every year. This is a much bigger commitment than just donating some money. This is donating your time and your emotions and your heart. 15 people showing up tonight. That is just crazy.
25 years of that. It's been crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that really is... I sound like I'm going to cry. I'm just because I'm sick. Although I might cry. Boy, do I get emotional when I'm sick.
Yeah.
You think I'm emotional normally.
Oh, boy.
Jeez. For example, I was bawling because I kept getting TikTok videos of people who adopt wild animals where they play like the same song over and over again that's a tearjerker. And the last one I saw was a baby kangaroo.
Uh-huh.
And this family raised the baby kangaroo. And I'm just like, it's so sad because it's true. It's like, and I'm just thinking like, I'm going to go driving on the backwoods and either find an injured animal or injure one so that I can then nurse it back to health. And be the hero that these people are.
Slinging rocks at a bird.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like, how true do you think that? I know you can't like domesticate a chimpanzee like Travis or a lion or a tiger, but people seem to domesticate deer.
There are raccoons that live in people's houses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possums.
Yeah, possums.
I think anything that's not a predator.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it's a little riskier with a predator or. And I would put, I don't know that I would count like chimps as a quote unquote predator, but they are like we are like, I don't know what you call them, like top level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apex.
You know, apex. That's the word I was looking for. Whether you're predators or competitors, maybe the better way to put it, like, but apex animals, I think it's a lot harder.
But also, those. I think there's a higher chance than like a puppy or a kitty, if you've got like a possum in your house, like,
sure,
it might bite you. Bite you real hard.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's a higher chance. I don't know if there's a higher chance of that. I don't know the science, but I feel like.
You mean a possum?
Yeah, what did I say?
No, I mean that would be the bitier thing.
This is one of the funniest things he's ever
he
said.
He said that funny, right?
You mean a possum?
Well, no, like
I was like, oh God, what did I say?
I'm sure like if it's.
Sir, do you mean a possum?
Like any of those types, if they're raised out in the wild, they will be bitier, but if they're like you catch a pup and a little baby one and it grows up with you, it's going to be used to you.
Like my cousins.
Yeah.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.